Good morning. It's a real pleasure to be with you this morning. I've been receiving such a lovely welcome in your church. What a fantastic place. And it's particularly a pleasure for me because I live in Connecticut, which is still under several mountains of snow. It's a real delight to be in a place where the sun is shining. We have read this morning from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 3, which contains two of the most famous phrases in the Bible. You must be born again, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Two phrases that are associated more than anything with conversion stories, with pressure from enthusiastic preachers to change your life right now by an effort of will. Make a decision to follow Jesus when you hear these words. And it's pitched as good news. I have to admit to you that when I hear enthusiastic preachers insisting that I change my life right now, it doesn't feel like good news to me. Do you feel like that sometimes? But read the story of Nicodemus more closely, and what you'll find is that these two phrases have much less to do with overnight conversion than they do with secret conversation. Nicodemus, we are told, came to Jesus under the cover of darkness. Why did he come to Jesus in the middle of the night? Well, perhaps he was afraid of being seen with Jesus. You see, Nicodemus was a fine, upstanding kind of religious person, much like you and me. And being a religious leader and knowing that his colleagues were very antagonistic towards Jesus, maybe he was afraid of the consequences if he was seen with Jesus. Maybe it would damage his career. Maybe it would damage his spiritual reputation or his social standing. I'll leave it up to you to decide which is worse. Or perhaps Nicodemus was simply thinking that he needed a one-to-one conversation with Jesus, and his colleagues were always so busy coming at Jesus with the trick questions that they never actually stopped to listen to what Jesus had to say. Look closely at the conversation, and you find that although Jesus talked about coming into the light, it was actually still dark when Nicodemus sloped away at the end of the conversation. He did not, on that night, move from darkness to light, or from night to day, from bewilderment to clarity, from resistance to relationship. Not yet. He came to Jesus in the dark. He went away in the dark, both literally and metaphorically. Nicodemus came to ask Jesus some intellectual questions, it seems, but as they sat there under the stars, Jesus did what he so often did when people asked him awkward questions. He reframed the question and asked one straight back. "Never mind the intellectual stuff," he seems to say to Nicodemus. "You must be born again." "Born again?" says Nicodemus. "That's completely crazy and impossible. What are you talking about?" "No, take it easy, Nick," says Jesus. "I'm talking about spiritual rebirth here." And then he goes on and talks in riddles about serpents and spirits and the wind blowing. I wonder whether sometimes we do what Nicodemus did and take the words of Jesus much too literally. "You must be born again" has become the phrase of the insistent preacher by taking it too literally. I don't know how "you must be born again" ever got turned into an evangelist's demand. And maybe it takes a woman to notice this, but babies don't get born all by themselves. Babies don't decide when they get born. It's something that just happens when it happens. And when they are born, as I know from experience, it's mostly the mum that does the work. Now, if God is offering us new birth, then it's God who is going to do the heavy lifting. Babies can't choose to be born, but they do need to be ready. Once they're ready, the birth will happen. And I wonder whether we might read, instead of "you must be born again right now," the freedom to say, "if you're not ready to be born yet, get ready, and when you're ready, it will happen. That seems to be what happened more or less to Nicodemus, because he was not born again. He did not see the light that particular night. He came in the dark, he left in the dark, and it isn't until later in the gospel that we find out what happened to him. But before we look at that, let's just think about those secret questions in the dark. See, I look around this church and I see a room full of fine church-going Christians. You look like good people to me. But I wonder if there are questions you would like to ask God that you don't quite dare ask in church, that it wouldn't sound quite right to ask in the Bible study. Because some of the questions we want to ask God seem somehow unacceptable. I know that's true for me, and I'm kind of betting that it's true for you. Or maybe it is just me, in which case you can counsel me later. But you know, maybe like Nicodemus, you and I need the freedom to go in the dark, to talk to God and say, I don't understand what's happening here. I don't know what is going to happen next. And maybe it is simply that it's not your time just yet. Real births don't happen on schedule, and neither do spiritual births. You don't want a birth, a real birth, to happen too soon. It's not good for the baby. And a forced spiritual birth is not good either. But the language of birth, I think, is quite helpful for us, because just before a baby is born, we say that it gets engaged. It has to get into the right position to be ready so that when the birth begins, it can come out and there's a good outcome. If the baby is not engaged and not in the right place, then it's a big struggle and things can go wrong. So we can't make ourselves be spiritually born, but we can do whatever we can do to get ready. And some of coming to church is about being ready so that when God is ready to give us the new thing that's going to happen in our lives, we're ready for it. Let's just, as a matter of encouragement, take a quick look at what did happen to Nicodemus. There was no overnight conversion for him, but we do know that somehow, gradually, at some point, it all came together for him. Scroll forward to chapter 7 of John, and you find that Nicodemus was among a group of his colleagues in the temple, and there was another fracas where people were arguing with Jesus about whether he should be saying these things he was saying. And this time, instead of disappearing onto the back row, Nicodemus spoke up and said to his friends, "Hang on a minute, you should listen to Jesus. Stop talking and listen to him, because maybe what he has to say is worth hearing." Nicodemus is getting his courage together. He's not quite so afraid now to be seen to be listening. But scroll forward further, almost to the end of the story, and when Jesus died, we find that nearly all of his friends disappeared into the night. They were afraid that they were going to get raveled up in this dangerous, controversial situation. And for fear, they ran away. But two people showed up at the cross to take Jesus' body down. Two people who were brave enough to be seen in this dangerous situation, so determined that Jesus would have a proper burial. And one of those two people was Nicodemus. What's more, we know that this must have been in daylight because you couldn't bury a body after sunset. So we know that Nicodemus, who came to Jesus under the starlight at the beginning of the story for fear of being seen, appears at the end of the story in the most dangerous circumstances, in broad daylight, completely willing to be seen as a supporter of Jesus. We don't know what happened in between to Nicodemus. We just know that somewhere in those three or so years, the penny dropped, things came together, and this new spiritual birth happened for him. No pressure, no evangelist waving their finger at you, no kind of squeezing a spiritual birth out of yourself. Just waiting, being ready, so that when it was God's time, God could bring about the new birth. That's how it happened for Nicodemus, and I think that's how it's supposed to happen for you and me. And that, my friends, is really good news. Amen.